Truth and Transcendence. Brought to you by Yes, You Now, with Catherine Llewellyn. Truth and Transcendence, Episode 3. Big Ideas and Finding Our Perspective. So big ideas, by definition, are interesting, attractive, appealing, compelling, and they can be quite powerful. But I'm going to suggest to you that big ideas are only really useful when we find our own perspective in relationship to those ideas. And by that, I don't mean deciding if we agree with them or not, or deciding if they are correct or not. I'm talking about actually having a relationship with big ideas. And I believe that having a relationship with big ideas happens on both an emotional and feeling level and on a cognitive and mental level. So when we engage with big ideas and in a real way and have a relationship with them, we not only examine them intellectually and consider them and explore them and perhaps even research them and challenge them, we also bring them into ourselves experientially. So for me, the big ideas that have made the greatest difference to me have been the ideas where I've actually experienced something in my own life in relationship to that idea that meant something to me. And that then takes me to a place where I'm no longer holding an opinion. I'm experiencing a directly felt connection with something that feels real to me. Now, I think it's pretty obvious what the distinction is there and why that's important. Equally, it's pretty obvious why big ideas that we've actually considered and contemplated in some depth have a very different quality for us than ideas we have simply assessed briefly, believed in or not believed in. I had somebody come and stay with me once who I found this person looking at all my books on my shelves. I said, "Are you interested in these books?" And he looked at me and in dismay and said, "What do you believe in? I can't find out what you believe in." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, what are your beliefs?" And I had to really examine this before I answered, because I realized I didn't actually have what he meant by beliefs. I didn't have a particular theology or philosophy or any particular framework of belief system that I believed in. I heard certain things that I experienced as being real for me, and I had certain things which seemed to me to be philosophically sound as ideas, but that's not the same thing as having beliefs. So why am I talking about the distinction between holding beliefs and having an experiential relationship with big ideas, whether that's a felt experience of relationship or whether it's a cognitive, intellectual connection with big ideas? I'm drawing that distinction because as leaders, what we are trying to do is bring something about that wouldn't have been there otherwise. We're trying to make some sort of significant and lasting difference to something in some way. And in order to do that, we need to be in a state of recognition of what is actually true at any point in time, and a connection, having a direct connection with our context for what we're seeking to accomplish, and our context and our framework for how we want to do that. Now, those things can only happen when we have actually when we've actually explored for ourselves and grounded in ourselves and integrated in ourselves, our relationship with what we consider to be reality, if you like, what we consider to be important, and what we consider to be how the universe works, how the world works, how our industry works, how our markets work, how our business works. So that requires a bit more of a questioning mental agility and a bit more of a live, uncensored, felt sense of our lives and of our world. So you may be nodding to this and saying, well, that's obvious, Catherine, or you may be thinking, okay, that's interesting, but that I really, really don't want to just explore things in this way. That's fine. That's absolutely fine either way. And perhaps to make this a bit more real, I'd like to talk about a few things that I think of as big ideas and just kind of talk around them a little bit and just see if I can bring this whole thing forward into a bit of perspective. So the first one is this notion of the generous universe. The generous universe. Now, this is an ideological position, if you like, which says that existence is, of its nature, generous. In other words, we will be given more than we deserve, if you like, or more than we might otherwise expect. So this is a really interesting idea to explore. It's interestingly, a lot of people actually take this idea, the generous universe, and they believe it, but without having actually explored it and without necessarily having experienced it for themselves. Now, if someone just takes an idea like that, believes it, and acts on that belief, what then happens is a kind of a disconnected, disjointed, ungrounded belief in everything's going to turn out, positive thinking, it's all going to be great, but no connection to reality. If somebody has in their lives had a first-hand experience of life in the universe being generous, or actually feeling that feeling of being blessed, let's say, favored, advantaged, privileged. I don't mean privileged as in highly born. I mean that feeling of, oh my God, what I'm being given in my life is just extraordinary. It's way beyond anything I feel I possibly even merit. That feeling that life is generous. Now, I've had that feeling many times, and I'm guessing you probably have had that feeling. Now, if that's a feeling that we're very familiar with, then that is in us, that is in our bodies, it is in our hearts, it is in our spirit. And that can actually contribute to a state of abundance, a state of optimism, a state of possibility, a state of imagination. And that can be incredibly fruitful. Much more fruitful than a blind, compliant belief in the notion of the generous universe. Equally, if you've taken the other tack and explored such a notion intellectually, perhaps even scientifically or analytically, all sorts of interesting things can transpire from that. Now, I haven't done that. I'm more of a felt sense explorer of big ideas. But I know there are people who've explored ideas like how does energy work? How do the weather systems work? How does life work? How do plants work? How do ecosystems work? But, you know, all of these things which are extraordinary in their own right. And many of those people have come to the conclusion that the universe and life is generous. that there is a kind of a limitless source of life and energy and goodness, if you like. So if you're someone who has done that sort of exploration or accessed it, then you've got another different kind of informed connection with an idea such as the generous universe. And having that groundedness in terms of knowledge and being informed then allows you to draw on that resource in a way which is grounded and connected and authentic. So I think you can see what I mean by the distinction between just believing in an idea, because it just seems like such a lovely idea to believe in, or actually experientially connecting with it through your own first-hand life experience, or exploring it with your intellect and walking around it, examining it from a number of different angles, challenging it, and coming to perhaps an equivalent conclusion, but from a very informed place. So that second and third position in relation to an idea is much more powerful and much more useful for leaders, because what we want to do is put things in place and attract people and encourage and inspire people to go in a direction, to rise above and transcend what they've been able to do before. And the more connected we are, the more able we are to do that in a way that people can respond to and that actually rings true for them. Otherwise, let's say you're someone who just believes in that notion of the generous universe without a first-hand experience and without a proper intellectual examination. The best you can do is try to get followers of an idea based on some kind of dogma or based on persuasion or based on charisma. And what that does is it can either create a kind of a weird culty situation, or it creates a situation where people give lip service to something, but then in the background, they're not really with you. And that's actually the worst possible situation. You're actually better off with people saying no, because then you can have a dialogue. And then you've got something that's got some sustainability to it. Now, you know, I'm not a political person. However, I think any of us can look around at what's been happening in the world in the last couple of years. And there's been, I think, a great deal of believing in ideas without examining them and believing in ideas without a felt experience of those ideas actually being tenable. And I think you can probably see the kind of fragility of that particular way of connecting with ideas and the unfortunate outcomes of that in brittleness and dissatisfaction and unrest. It's not fulfilling. So, you know, another idea that I often talk about, a thing, our infinite potential. If you stick around very long, you will hear me talk about the idea that we all have infinite potential. So again, this is another one which is possible to just believe in it because it sounds like such a good idea. And, you know, we're all pure light and we're all infinite spirits and we're all this, that and the other. And if we believe in that, that just means life is bathed in a wonderful rosy glow. Well, fair enough, but again, I'm going to say examining that idea a bit more fully through a felt sense or through an intellectual examination brings us to a much more useful place. So the felt sense, for example, of this idea that we all have an infinite potential. This is something I put quite a lot of attention on, actually, in my work, which is examining how we get to where we are now. If I look back over my life, there are many points in the past where I would never have believed that I'd be capable of doing what I'm capable of doing today. When I would have absolutely capped what I thought I'd be capable of doing at a much lower level. Now, you may say, Catherine, you're not at a very impressive level now. Well, thank you. But, you know, compared to where I was, I've really come a long way. And I reckon, you know, in another 10 or 15 years, I'll look back and say to myself, wow, I've come a long way from where I was then. Now, I've actually made a habit of observing those moments as I've gone through my life and noticing the degree to which my self-assessment was kind of way off, kind of a lot lower than I was really capable of. And that's brought home to me in a direct felt sense that actually my potential is a lot bigger than I know it is, than I can ever know it is. Because by the time I've caught up with where I thought I could go to, I can go further. And I'm guessing if you look at your own life, and if you're honest about it, you'll see that it's exactly the same for you. Now, that's a felt experience, and that makes such a difference. Equally, we can, you know, looking at it from an intellectual, analytical point of view, we can look at how children grow, how adults respond to education, to nurturing environments. We can explore all kinds of statistical measures and analyses of what it is to actually go past what is imagined as the limits for any particular person. So if we've done either of those explorations, the experiential or the intellectual, we're in a much stronger position to realistically look at situations and look at ourselves and look at other people and look at the people we're leading and say, well, is there potential for more here? How much potential might there be? Could there be more than that? Whereas if we simply believe the idea of our infinite potential, all we're going to do is say, right, I've got infinite potential, so I can just step off that roof and I'll be able to fly. Okay, it's a bit of an extreme. But, you know, the number of business ventures that I've seen people try, where they've said to themselves, I've got infinite potential, I can do anything, so this is going to work. And then it's completely failed. Because their optimism and enthusiasm is based on a hollow belief. It's not based on a genuine felt experience of having gone beyond their own imagined potential, at least once, several times, maybe many times. And it's not based on a proper analytical examination of that notion. So in other words, they have no judgment. And I think that really is the, when you come down to it, the really significant difference between having a hollow belief in one of these big ideas and having either a strong felt experiential connection with it or a strong intellectual connection with it, which is the effect it has on our judgment. And unfortunately, when we allow ourselves to have a what I call a hollow belief in a big idea, yes, that might give us the courage, if you like, and the enthusiasm to embark on something based on that belief. But when we start to get the feedback that it's not working, when we start to get evidence that our belief may not be really grounded in anything, that can be a really very unpleasant experience because we've got nothing to fall back on. We've got no strong base on which to stand to receive that feedback and respond to it. Instead, we go into a state of shock or disbelief and we don't know what to do. We can get very distressed. And when we get distressed in this way, we can lash out. And the lashing out often is in an attempt to free ourselves from the debilitating experience of having our beliefs proven incorrect or ungrounded or not thought through. And that's when you get people ranting about their belief systems, trying to force other people to agree with them, trying to force other people to comply with what they think should be happening in order to make them feel better. All of that aberrated behavior comes from holding a hollow belief, which is not based on anything real for that person. And that's another useful distinction. So any of these big ideas, they don't mean anything until we explore them. So if I say there's something which, when you hold it as a hollow belief, isn't real, but if you hold exactly the same idea from a place of experiential connection or a place of intellectual examination, or ideally both, that same idea becomes a real thing. So it's not the idea that is real or not real, it's your connection with it that is real or not real, and that then makes it real or not real. So I found this a really very important aspect of my relationship with life, which is to actually question my beliefs as and when there are any beliefs there, to question beliefs and ideas that are presented to me, and to go back and examine what is it that I have felt and experienced for myself, and that I therefore know in myself because I have lived it. And how does that relate to some of these big ideas? So over this next week, you might like to actually observe people around you expressing ideas. And just ask yourself, is this somebody who's holding a hollow belief? Or is this somebody who is actually connected to this notion through their own personal experience, or through their own rigorous intellectual examination and consideration of it? And what difference does that make to the way that they communicate these ideas and to the effect they have on people around them? And perhaps take a look at the people around you, the people you lead, and observe, what are they picking up from you? Which big ideas are they picking up from you? Are they the ones that you've got a felt experiential connection with, or the ones that you've got an intellectual, analytical, grounded connection with? I'm guessing they probably are. So thank you for listening. Have a great week, and I'll see you next week. You've been listening to Truth and Transcendence, the regular weekly podcast from Yes, You Now, with Catherine Llewellyn. For more information, head to yesyounow.today/podcast.